You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
My name is Sherlock Holmes. I've always been more of a thinker than a fighter.
The two aren't mutually exclusive.
There's an art to fighting.
There's an art to war. Larceny, stealing. Those days aren't really behind me. I'm in Oxford now.
You have to promise me something.
Anything, Mother.
Stay out of trouble.
Sherlock Holmes.
James Moriarty.
Sherlock is making friends.
Sherlock never made any friends. What game are we playing today?
What game would you like to play?
Don't! Mycroft, what the bloody hell is going on? Do you mind telling me why your brother is standing at the scene of the crime?
Oh, dear. I'm curious as to why I'm being set up for murder. But I need proof. There are other forces at work.
Sorry to bother you, sir.
What is it?
A bomb.
What do you mean, a bomb?
A bomb is an incendiary device.
I know what a bloody bomb is.
Why would anybody want to do this?
You're a smart boy. Work it out.
When you have eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, that must be the truth.
I do love a secret passage.
We're going to solve this together.
Holmes, let me illuminate you. You've no idea what's at stake here.
I feel as though I should thank you for saving me from a life of sheer boredom.
You are most welcome.
Hello, and hopefully, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Are we here?
Are we here?
Yes.
The terror.
I can see, look, like things are going up on the little screen. I hope people can hear us. How are you? Can you guys hear me? Oh, you guys can hear me. This is great. Fine.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We can hear you.
Yeah. Excellent. Hello. Yeah. This roundup sucks.
No.
It was all working so well. Excellent. Thank you for confirming in the chat there. Thanks, Pretty Kango. Just tell us. Yes. Excellent. It's a bit soft. Excellent.
Turn up your volume.
Yeah. Turn up the volume. No, don't do that. That's rude. Anyway, how are you guys? You guys good?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Having a nice time.
I don't even have a whip crack anymore. It sucks.
Oh, no.
Oh, we could do it.
Whoop-ah.
Yeah. Oof. That's
not into that.
That sounds soft. I mean, if I went to a BDSM place and someone came out and went, whoop-ah, I'd be like, oh, can I have my money back?
Okay, right. Sorry. Oh, this is me attempting to quote from Friends and then realizing, because is it Chan? No, it's Joey. Joey,
no,
who
Ross
knows?
Ross does it. Ross is the whoopah, isn't he?
Yeah, he can't do the whoosh.
Yeah,
he goes,
he's a
whoopah.
Pathetic piece of shit.
Oh.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
He's the worst friend.
He is. Right. That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Okay. How are we all? Have we all had a fun week? Is this all good? We're good? We've all been watching enough television and other stuff,
oh my God,
media.
I can't find enough hours to watch all of this television.
No.
There's
so much
TV.
We sort of had to divide and conquer, didn't we?
We did. Pete, how are you doing on your television watching?
I'm not watching a lot of recreational television at all. I've managed a few bits and pieces here and there.
That's good.
That's good. Excellent. You have something to talk about. Fantastic. All right. Okay. Show can continue.
Yay.
As long as the tech holds.
Good show is a quick show.
Yeah. Good show is a quick show. So we've all been watching different things, haven't we? We've kind of been watching different stuff, and now we can try and convince each other to watch these things or compare notes about how you feel. How's that go? I didn't watch any One Piece yet. I'm going to get around to it. We're going to get to it.
Yes, I know. I've got a whole bunch of One Piece to watch before next week. So, yeah. I do want to say, just before we kick straight off into this, I'm going to pour one out for a show that we just reviewed recently that has had its official cancellation today. Starfleet Academy has been officially cancelled after two seasons.
Two seasons?
they filmed the second.
Filmed
the second season. They've finished filming, and it has now been cancelled. Which I'm actually going to say, I'm pissed about. I'm very disappointed.
Well, I'm sorry, Queenie, because I specifically wrote to Paramount and told them to stop it.
You motherfucker! God damn it! I don't care if it was just your birthday.
Happy birthday, Jill.
I'm dropping some
Jill.
F's in the chat. Mostly F for fuck you, Jill, for canceling the show that I like.
I will admit on stream, I finished the season, and that by that 10th episode, I was like, where was this? Because episode 10 was some classic Trek. So, I will come back for season 2.
Yeah, and that's all you get.
And
by the looks of it, that may also now be currently the last of any Star Trek being produced at the moment.
Is that because Paramount just absorbed, like, they just
Netflix
did that
or
big,
whatever?
Like, no, not Netflix. They just absorbed Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Warner Brothers. There's that, but also because Paramount have been licking the boot of the Trump administration for a while now, and of all of the streaming people out there, they're the ones that generally people are like, oh, yuck.
Yeah.
So a show as progressive as Star Trek probably wasn't going to be high on their list.
Well,
of
that means they also own HBO.
They do.
And Hulu, which is, like, terrifying. Anyway, we don't need to think about the worst
Monopolies
outcome.
Monopolies don't exist.
No,
of course not. Of course not. And no one gets frustrated playing that game. It's fun for the whole family.
Of
the one company that owns everything. Wait, what?
If I didn't break my family, I would end friendships. So.
Okay, and what happened in the trailer that we just watched, which was Young Sherlock, which is on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And I have watched some of it. Has anyone else watched some of it?
I have. I watched the first 3 episodes.
Great.
So
I watched the first one episode, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought, oh, God, do we need a young Sherlock? But you know what? I actually am enjoying it.
I'm
very surprised.
After one episode, I was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, I could kind of see where this is going, but I haven't gone back for more yet.
Okay. How is this competing against Enola Holmes? Because we had
different.
Yeah, yeah, it's very different. It's Guy Ritchie. All right, what's your job?
And that was kind of what made me not sure about whether I would like it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate relationship with Guy Ritchie
products.
Yeah, but I think the actors are quite charming, and the bromance is very shippy.
So okay.
There's something for everybody there. I am surprised by this one. So it's giving me like young Indiana Jones or James Bond Jr. vibes.
Okay. You know what vibes it's giving me?
Mm.
The original Young Sherlock Holmes, the movie from 1985.
Oh, God.
Really?
Yeah. No, not even remotely, but.
I was about to say. He's like,
stylistically, they're completely fucking different. But I like that they're, you know, essentially doing exactly the same thing, but with 1,000% more geezer. and I actually really love that 1985 film. Like, it's one of the first uses of CGI that was ever put on film. And it is, because I remember watching it going, I have... It does actually make sense in the context of the film. There's a knight that is made out of stained glass window that jumps out of the window, and then it looks like he's about to attack someone.
Okay.
It's a whole thing.
It's like the scarecrow in, like, that's the whole village. People freak out about seeing things that aren't there.
Yeah, like they're being drugged and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it was, and I remember watching it as a kid and going, I have no fucking clue how they did that. Like, this is magic in front of me right here, because I don't know how they did that. Only many years later did I find out that it was the first actual use of CGI. So, I mean, other than Tron, but, you know.
I mean, but that was hand-painted.
Yes. Anyway, that's not got nothing to do with this fucking show.
No.
But look,
who's
you know,
the ship?
Hey?
Who's the ship?
Sherlock,
I didn't pick it up in the
Moriarty.
First episode. I didn't really pick that up as cleanly in the first
episode. The only ship that exists in Sherlock, him and Moriarty.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Did you not watch the Benedict Cumberbatch one? Oh, wait, no, sorry. That was Watson was there too. But there's no Watson in this one.
No.
This is friends to enemies.
Oh.
Lovers to enemies.
Right.
Friends to lovers to enemies.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Sure. It's public domain. You can do whatever you want.
Fucking yeah, and everybody's fucking doing it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Since the success of Heated Rivalry, now it's just like, ooh.
Yeah, there's some heated rivalry in this one.
It's touch tips for everyone.
Wow.
Look, Young Sherlock's pretty fun. Like, I mean, it's very much trying to do its level best to be fun and enjoyable and create this situation. And it's not getting irritating yet, but yeah, I feel like it could.
Oh.
Yeah. I feel like it could irritate me soon. And I've watched three episodes, but I'm just a little bit like, oh, it seems to be the same thing. It's like, well, how does Sherlock get out of this one? But, you know, good, like, you know, big cast, lots of people doing stuff. Colin Firth.
Baby in there.
Yeah, chuck him in one.
Yeah. You know, we've got a couple of finds in there, you know, yes. Which is always nice.
Father and son, correct?
Joseph
Hero
and
is
Hero.
Joseph's son, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And you know, Colin Firth, which is better than the slightly less popular version, Colin Second.
And you have Max Irons, who's Jeremy Irons' son. We've got two
Nepo babies.
Oh, God,
it's just Nepo babies all over the place.
Yeah.
Do we feel like is this Sherlock too, like, because Sherlock has always been kind of portrayed as being a little spectrum-y and a bit fucking, you know, doesn't really understand how people work, is just really good at reading
them.
Yeah,
I'm not getting any autistic vibes.
No, I kind of felt like he was very, very socially capable. And that's not something I've always gotten from as a story beat from Sherlock as a character.
This is very much like, how did Sherlock Holmes become Sherlock Holmes? He's kind of like learning on the job in this series. You're kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's how he learned how to do this, and that's how he learned how to do that. So,
right.
And it seems to be Moriarty is the one teaching him all of this.
Which
makes
perfect.
The friends to enemies to lovers all the more sweet.
But like, yeah,
so how many of you watched it?
Three.
Jill, how many of you?
Yeah, three. And I'm halfway through episode four.
Nice.
Look, I am liking Zine Theng. Hopefully I got that right. Who's a Taiwanese actress who is playing a character in this new sort of thing. Like, she's pretty cool. She's the one who seems to be doing all the cool things. Because unlike the first attempt that Guy Ritchie did for Sherlock Holmes, which had Robert Downey Jr., you know, doing that stuff, in this one he's kind of plays Sherlock as a bit inept and hasn't learnt anything yet, so needs someone who's able to beat people up, and they've made that character a woman, which is quite good, kind of. But they've set it around Oxford. You know, the most prestigious university that you could ever go to, for bloody Oxford University, like all that kind of, it's just a little
I think
bit like,
the Cambridge would have something to say about that, but
yep.
Was it Oxford or Cambridge? I can't remember.
They're in Oxford.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. The other heated rivalry.
Right.
Is,
yeah. Sorry.
Oxford v. Cambridge.
Yeah. I was just hoping I didn't get it wrong. But it's starting to feel a little bit like, oh, there's a big overarching narrative and plot and stuff going on. I was like, nope, it's kind of Monster of the Week, guys. Every week, Sherlock's got to solve a crime, you know?
Which, to be honest, I'm totally expecting and down for. I do remember, if memory serves, there is a bit in the first episode where they run into Lestrade.
Yes.
And I was kind of like, there's a little part of me that was like, maybe save him for later. Maybe he doesn't need to be at school with Sherlock, but you know.
Yeah, we're getting close to dangerous territory of of a CW version.
I was thinking a lot of Gotham as I saw that.
Everybody is the young version in this.
Yeah,
show.
At least in this
look
one.
Oh, it's the Penguin as a young person. Oh, look, it's right. Yeah,
and they've done that too because there's this thing where he keeps running into a woman that he keeps looking at for the whole time. Yeah. They haven't introduced her yet.
Oh,
it's like,
as if we don't know that's Irene Adler.
Yeah. Staring at him across the quad all the time. What the fuck is going on?
Waiting for him to pick up a dog at some point in time.
Yeah.
He'll just find a puppy on the street somewhere. I was like, oh, I better give this one back to the Baskervilles.
Sorry,
there's a fucking deep cut for the Sherlock fans, apparently.
It's feeling a little bit
Jesus
like that.
Jesus Christ, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. It's feeling a little bit like that, though. All in all, it's a fun watch. It's not terrible. But it's also got a long way to go before it's great.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not offended by the episode I've
watched. What's next? Which one do you want to talk about? And I've got a trailer for it, so you just tell me which one you want to talk about.
I want to know about DTF.
Let's go with the movie I watched.
Oh, okay. No, you go with the movie.
Sorry, going too slow.
Which one are we talking about?
movie.
The movie. Okay, movie trailer. All right. It's got Rosé Byrne in it. That's how you pronounce her name, right? Rosé?
Yes, correct.
Yeah,
Rosé
okay.
All day.
Rosé All day.
Mommy? The bathroom has water in it. Oh, quickly!
I try very hard to be in control of her and everything, but may as well not even be there at all.
I don't like how it feels in my sock.
Just stay there, okay? Just hold on.
Is it? Are we gonna die? Is the house gonna fall on top of us? Mommy!
Hey!
Hey, we just got home and you would not believe.
We are out of time. I have another patient coming, so.
Wait, now? What about the 10-minute warning?
Yeah, I just wasn't paying attention.
You didn't respond to the email that I sent you about my dream.
I don't respond to my clients' dream emails.
I know you have a lot on your plate. But she's getting better, and the rest of it is totally temporary. You need to be a team. There's a whole...
I know. You know, the problem with that logic, though, is that I'm not a housewife. I work, too. I can see you now.
You've missed the last few weeks of family sessions.
I told you what happened. Our entire ceiling fell down and we're living out of the hotel.
Yes on these, but no on the line.
But it isn't even 2.
It's 1:58. By the time I ring these up, it will be past 2.
Yo, crazy pants. I was gonna partake in surfing the web for some things that I'm into.
What kind of stuff? I'm supposed to know how to fix this. I'm supposed to know how to fix her.
What is it you think it's your job to fix?
I'm asking you what I'm supposed to do. Can you hear me?
I would like you to get a good night's sleep.
Whatever. This isn't supposed to be what it's like. This isn't it. This can't be it. Everything is under control. Ha!
Interesting for a very long film title.
Yes. This is called If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. It has had like a lot of buzz around it because it's won quite a few awards, mostly for Rose Byrne winning acting awards for this film. She really delivers an insane performance. And I got to say, this is probably the most chaotic movie I have watched in a long time. It was extremely stressful. And not only that, it's a story about a mother just trying to cope. That's not something I can entirely relate to, but I really get the pressure that she's under. And oh my God, the chaos of this film. So basically, like, the title is... If I had the tools, I would fix this situation. So she's completely out of her element throughout the course of this film. She has a child with an illness that I think is like a food aversion kind of thing. So the kid's not getting enough nutrients and has a feeding tube. So you never see the child throughout the film. So it does a really interesting job of helping you sympathize with the mother rather than empathize with having a child there. It's just this nattering, nagging, whining voice the whole movie. And then when I tell you I wanted to punch this kid, holy cow. And then she has a husband who is just like not there. And he's constantly on the phone with her, like berating her for like, why aren't you doing enough? But mind you, she's a psychotherapist. So she's got a lot of people that are like in her office every hour complaining about their lives. So,
wow.
And the whole thing that sets all of this chaos into motion is her ceiling collapses in her apartment, floods with water. And so her and her daughter have to shift out and live in a motel. And this is where we kind of join the story.
Right.
There's never a moment of rest in this film. There's constantly noise going on. She's always talking with someone. And if she's not, her phone's always ringing. So it's like this constant bombardment of, I need your attention. I need your attention.
I'm kind of where Tari is at on this one. Like, that sounds like a big note to me.
Yeah. I watched it yesterday after work and I wasn't particularly tired, but by the time this film was over, I was exhausted.
Good warning there, which is just like, yes. Hey.
Yeah, go, you have been warned.
Are you feeling relaxed and relatively good? Do you want to put something on? Because this will give you the opposite effect. This is just panic disorder.
But there was a lot of clever storytelling in this movie. Like the hole in the ceiling is kind of representative of the hole in her daughter's stomach with this feeding tube, and the whole thing about like pressure from the doctors of like, she needs to gain the weight so we can get her off the tube, but she can't get off the tube because she doesn't want to eat. And so it's just this vicious cycle.
Right.
And there's kind of like, she describes, Rose, her character, describes through the film of just like her problems are one after another. Like she solves one and then there's the next cliff and you just keep going and then you finish it and then there's the next cliff. Like there's no end for anything for her. So there's a point in the film where she's like, okay, well, we need to solve this daughter's feeding tube problem. And when she's like, fuck it, we're just going to take the tube out, and she does, then all of a sudden her husband's back and the ceiling's fixed. And like, oh, maybe this was the
problem all along.
The crux with all of my problems. But they plant a seed in this film of perception as reality. So you don't really know if any of this has fixed the problem or if it's all in her imagination. So there's a bit of ambiguity there too. It's quite interesting filmmaking and storytelling going on.
Right.
Interesting.
Hey, you look like you're lining up for this one.
I don't feel like I need something to stress me out right now. Maybe later.
Yes. Jill, I love that you've given us a very, you know, well-considered explanation and understanding of the film, but I don't want to see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's probably going to be great. I just need to be like, you know.
Yeah, it is great. I didn't really realize like how full on it was going to be. I just heard that, you know, this film was getting a lot of noise. So I'm like, all right, I want to see what it's about.
If we hadn't just come out of like COVID and a bunch of other stuff and then we're sitting on the precipice of World War III, what the fuck? Sure.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, there are moments where she's giving her psychotherapeutic advice to clients and you kind of see like it ticking in her brain of like, I need to take this advice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very, yeah, interesting.
But very interesting film, but also terribly, terribly difficult to try to come up with a good selling point out of in this narrative.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it would be, I don't know, if it's really like for mothers, like they already know what that life is like. So maybe it's just an empathetic watch for people that can't relate to motherhood.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no. Have we, are you there, Quinn?
I, like, I'd,
How are you going with your connection there, Freddie? You're peddling?
Yeah, I'm trying to pedal. I'm trying to pedal, but my legs are tired.
All right. So basically we can say that this is a very well produced, very well acted, excellent story, lots of intrigue, but holy shit, do we really need this at this moment? Or go into it with a fair warning?
Yeah, you have been warned.
Yeah. And as Terry has said in the chat, it's like, which audience is this for?
Yeah, if you get overstimulated, probably not for you.
Yeah.
Excellent. But no, very well made film.
And I also like Tari's question there. Is there any catharsis? Do we get any relief at any point in time? Or is this kind of...
I mean, it kind of all does wrap up in the last couple of minutes where she just runs for it, basically. just makes a break for it. Just like, yep, done. I'm out of here.
Fantastic.
And it doesn't work. And then that's kind of the moment where you start to see the people in her life as human beings. And you're like, okay, maybe that was a turning point for her. Now she can move things around and make life work.
Okay.
So coming from If I Had Legs, I Would Kick You. Now we're going to go to, what did you say earlier, Quinny? You want to see who's DTF?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I want to know who's DTF.
All right.
In St. Louis.
We'll see. We'll have a look.
The autopsy is going to say heart attack.
Excuse me.
What can I do for you?
Special crimes. I'm uncertain it was natural causes.
Come on in. Hello there.
Hey, Clark.
Carol?
I saw this thing, an app, DTF St. Louis. You meet these people so you can spice up your life, you know, and spice it up.
What's DTF?
Down to
Whoa. You work together here.
Yeah, Floyd was a colleague and a friend. How did you get into signing?
I have Peyronie's disease.
I have a curve in my penis greater than 30 degrees.
Profile name. Rock solid. Because I feel like I'm a pretty dependable person.
Suburban dad.
I will help you all of the time.
You introduce him to DTF St. Louis. Your buddy's now
dead.
I want to know more.
We always want to know more.
Intimacy's been missing for so long.
Had you ever discussed leaving your husband? Wow. No way, Jose. Wow.
Wow.
That was weird.
No one's normal.
So good.
Just looks that way from across the street.
You want my dreams?
Give me your dreams.
What's one of your dreams?
To go about your business and do tasks on your phone while you sit on my face.
Here we go. Keep it down.
What's going on out here in the suburbs?
I love you.
I love you too.
Interesting. Okay. What's this all about, apart from the DTFing, which I think we got from the trailer?
it's a weird one for me, and I didn't mean to watch it, but it is the only thing that I've watched recently that is new. I didn't mean to watch it. I bring it to you to speak of it. I think I mentioned it last week because it happened to autoplay on HBO when I had my AirPods connected to my Apple TV, and I wasn't close to the TV when one show ticked over and another one started. And I was like, that's all right, I can just listen to this while I'm folding my clothes. And like for 20 minutes, I had no idea what was going on because it kind of jumps around in time. I later realized that one of the characters is an ASL interpreter. So there were things happening on the screen, there was dialogue on the screen that I couldn't see or understand, but it is very much a show don't tell type show, particularly to begin with. And I got so confused that I then had to actually sit down and watch it.
Damn it. Not one of those shows. Even though it's not a
genre that I would generally go for.
Is it
when I don't have a lot of time.
Is it a crime? Is it just basically a whodunit or
It's a dark, dark comedy.
Mm.
Right.
I mean, you can kind of see that the style of comedy it is. I usually enjoy that style of comedy. You know, like it's a little on the absurd side just from being so straight-faced about the humour in it. I mean, it's lit like a serious Scandi noir. It's performed like a serious Scandi noir. But obviously there are elements to the characters and the dialogue that are kind of carrying a level of absurd comedy to it. But yeah, it's basically an unfolding crime mystery, murder mystery style thing.
Definitely not the vibe that I got, because I looked at a little bit of a trailer and I thought, is this sort of a sex kind of feel? Like, I don't know, like is this a, you know, an interesting show about modern people and their weird sex lives?
No.
Yeah, that, because I must admit that that's what I thought I was going for, or what it was, but clearly not at all.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how I feel about it, to be honest, for I'm not sure whether I recommend it. I'm not quite sure where it's going. I'm not quite sure whether the things that are making me feel a little bit weird about it from a problematic basis are going to resolve in a positive way that redeems them or not. David Harbour makes me feel icky.
Especially in a show about...
And David Harbour wearing a fat suit, because anybody wearing a fat suit for any reason makes me feel icky. Not for the reasons that some people might think, but for the reasons of why it's unnecessary. Yeah. It's generally never done with the intention of being nice to fat people, and maybe just hire an actor that suits the role if you need them to. Anyway, there's a lot of reasons. I've talked a lot about that before, but there is like a weird kind of thing going on with David Harbour's character and what's going on with the plot and how his weight is and self-esteem related to his weight is tied into it. Obviously, him wearing a fat suit, you know, his weight is underlining quite subtly some of the perceived humour, I think, and that tends to ship me off, as you know, because I usually have a 30-point deduction for it. But I'm not sure. It's still, I guess, possible at this point that they could be taking that in a direction that is human and representative, but it feels unlikely. It's not like it's not really in your face. I'm just particularly sensitive to not liking that kind of approach. It's not like the way I disliked Nacho Libre for it being...
subtle, it's still normalizing that kind of
And it's subtle, it's there because it is normalized. I don't think a lot of people would feel particularly uncomfortable about this because it is being done in a way that is very, it's not overt, it's not, you know, it's not like making obvious fat jokes or anything, but there's just a little twinge of that kind of like, oh, it's funny because he's fat, and he's wearing a fat suit. And so there is just, and that kind of element kind of crept into it more and more. So it started to ick me out a little in that regard. And it's not to say that depending, because it is very like the way it's unfolding, it's jumping around in time a lot. You're never really 100% sure what order the things that you're seeing have gone in at any particular time, because there's a lot of flashbacks from different perspectives And not even really flashbacks. It is just this kind of like layered storytelling that cuts from past to future. And when you're in the past, you don't know which part of the past you're in a lot of the time. So as to, you know, whether it's going to unfold in a way that is, you know, human and representative, or if it's just going to be a punchline, we'll kind of decide on how I end up feeling about it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm like, I don't know if I recommend it yet.
It's always interesting that if they feel the need to do a fat suit, it's usually because they need to be able to have the character not be fat at some point within a, like that,
yeah,
that
within a
that's,
time frame. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only reason you really do it, other than cast somebody who's of, you know, an appropriate weight. So yeah, you're like, okay, so clearly we're trying to do something here, but it is then that shitty thing of going, yeah, we gotta make the occasional jibe about it, not even a joke, just
a little nut. Underline of like there is a bit of perceived visual humor here that I didn't even read to begin with until I remembered that for most people that would be funny, and it's just not for me because I've done a lot of very specific and intensive brain training around the way I see bodies and their worth. So if you kind of take that element of me being suspicious of people's motivations in terms of the way bodies are represented out of the picture, it does have the potential to be kind of a human story. Like it seems that like a lot of what's underlying the way these relationships, these kind of twisted relationships, and we don't know how they're twisted yet, but the way they're unfolding, there seems to be like an underlining there about like male friendship and that kind of thing. But then I'm like, that could also be twisted somewhere that's kind of good or tone deaf. And I just don't know which way they're going to twist it yet, which in a way is like, if you like mysteries, there you go. I don't know where this is going.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's twisty enough because it's told in this unreliable timeline way that you don't really know where it's going, but it has a few other issues about it.
It has a few other issues about it, which might not be huge issues. Maybe I'm oversensitive to them. But it really depends on how the whole plot ends up coming together, I think.
Interesting. I kind of feel like I want to watch a little, like I want to give it an episode, but I'm not sure yet. Yeah.
I'm kind of invested now in just finding out what the fuck is happening. So I will probably finish it and I'll let you know.
Ah, okay.
That was going to be my main question is like, do you feel like this is a thing you're going to persevere with through to the end, or are you going to kind of just, meh?
No, okay. I think, well, I guess it kind of depends. It doesn't feel like something that's going to go on for 20 episodes. So it feels like I can stick it out, and the mystery is intriguing enough that I'm kind of like, well, now I kind of need to know exactly
right
how they, all of these bits and pieces pull together in the end. And like it's in many, many ways, it's really well done. If you like that kind of thing, which, you know, in terms of dark, absurd humor, I do tend to like that kind of thing. In terms of unfolding crime dramas, not for me, but if you like unfolding crime dramas, you would probably like it.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. Well, speaking of unfolding dramas.
Fuck you.
And I'm guessing here because I haven't seen any of it. That's right. It's The Shrinking. No, it's not. Are we going to do that one that you have watched, Quinny?
Yeah. We are. It is called Scarpetta.
Scarpetta.
So do we have it? Scarpetta. Do we have a trailer?
We do.
Excellent. Let's do that.
I, Dr. K. Scarpetta, do solemnly swear I will faithfully and impartially discharge all of the duties incumbent upon me as chief medical examiner to the best of my ability. Second time's a charm.
Good luck, Dr. Scarpetta.
I came back to this job because I didn't like the way I left things last time around.
I'm Dr. Scarpetta. It's a fifth victim in 2.5 months.
Second chance is pretty hard to resist, right?
Is it a second chance? Or am I just looking to mess myself up again?
It's all over the news.
What?
Our Lady of the Train Tracks, that's what they're calling her.
Two women with the same head wounds.
What we're looking for here is a serial killer.
This case and my first one, there are too many commonalities for them not to be connected.
That's a barrel of monkeys I would not want popping open.
Ooh, death stare. If it's the same person,
then we better run and never look back.
This is not like you.
What happened with that case that made you so afraid for it to come back into question?
Where is this coming from?
No secrets between us, not any.
Mysterious that we get to see two Australian actors back on the screen again, on the small screen.
Well, a bunch
Simon
of them.
Baker in a minute.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of love for Simon Baker because he's a Launceston boy.
He's the mentalist.
He is a mentalist. But it has been a while since we've seen an awful lot of Simon Baker. So the storyline behind this one, or the reason I watched it, is because my partner has been reading these books for about 20 something years.
Oh, it's based on books.
It is based on a very long running series of books by Patricia Cornwell.
Oh,
Cornwall, sorry. Okay. So the Scarpetta books, there are 28 of them now, I think.
29.
29, sorry. Wow. Fuck. Okay. And yeah, she's been writing these things since like 1990. So you've got like this long running story with this character that obviously appeals to a particular demographic. She's a super forensic pathologist, you know, who is amazing at knowing all of these things and can, you know, it's look, my initial thing was, oh God, this is so twee, it's so obvious. And watching it with my partner was really interesting because this is one of the first times that she has watched something that she's very heavily invested in and seeing an adaptation of something that she's loved for 20 something years.
This is her rivalry.
This is her Star Wars.
Is it more her Rings of Power watching it going?
Yeah, exactly.
She wouldn't do that.
It was so much. And like her initial thing was like, oh, fuck, it's a Nicole fucking Kidman. Jesus Christ. Of all of the people they could cast, Jesus, why did it have to be fucking Nicole Kidman?
Because she got divorced, so she has alimony.
Yeah. And I mean, at the moment, she's clearly doing a thing where she's going, okay, I want to play a particular kind of character and I want to be doing these strong female lead roles. Because, you know, of a particular style of books that are aimed at a particular audience. But the thing is, I kind of got invested in it as I went. And what it does is really interesting in that the books are going for like, you know, as I say, they've been going for 20 something years, however long. And as such, there's a huge amount of history. But what the series has kind of done is gone, okay, well, how do we incorporate elements of the older books and elements of the more modern stuff? We tell a dual narrative, and the dual narrative is set in 1990-esque with the young Scarpetta, who is, you know, investigating a particular case and finding out what's happened, and then the older cast, which are Nicole Kidman, Jamie Lee Curtis, Bobby Cannavale, and Simon Baker, they're dealing with a new serial killer and then realizing that, you know, partway through, they've gone, oh shit, hang on, we may actually have fucked this up entirely and got the wrong dude for the last 20-something years. Mm. And our entire careers are based on, it sounds kind of obvious. Like, there's enough character stuff in there that I was like, okay, this is quite interesting.
Yeah, that does sound.
And my internet shit itself again.
Yeah, it did. Yeah,
you're all looking
but,
at me.
But I mean, to not focus on like one book story as series so often do, it does sound interesting that they're actually branching across the whole series.
And plus, you're giving more than one actor a bit of a go at stuff.
Mm.
So, and also, it takes the load off. You know, it's not just Nicole Kidman has to be in every episode and at everything and all that sort of stuff.
I was probably in a contract somewhere.
I'm only working 3 days a week. Goodbye.
Well, and the thing is, she is in every episode.
Yeah.
And there's some interesting casting. Like Pete Marino, the character is played by Bobby Cannavale in modern days, but in the past, it's played by his son. And that worked pretty well. I thought there's a weird sort of subplot where the Jamie Lee Curtis's daughter, her wife has died a few years ago, and so she has developed an unhealthy relationship with an AI version of her dead wife.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's new.
Yeah.
To be putting it on TV. Thing.
This is the thing, like there's occasionally some really interesting ideas in it that you're like, that's a weird concept that I'm not like, and you know, the modern stuff is about 3D printed organs and like, you know, there's a murder that may have happened on a fucking space lab, like a Skylab type thing that, you know, but
are they getting paid in crypto? What the fuck, man?
Yeah,
it sounds like Patty was stretching on some of these later books.
Yep, I think Patty was just trying to, you know, speak to the youth.
Get relevant.
Oh. Yep.
Quinny?
No.
Oh, his audio's gone.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's gone.
Oh,
no,
he's back. Back.
He's back. Yeah.
Say again.
Yeah. Yeah. I said Jamie Lee Curtis is having a great time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, her cleavage is doing a lot of heavy lifting in this show.
Fantastic.
Figuratively and metaphorically?
Both, yes.
Would you recommend it? Is it accessible? Because I'm saying you watched it with someone who is very heavily invested in the books and was doing stuff like that, but if you haven't read any of the books, you just came into this cold, how did you feel with it? Do you feel like this has got a lot of legs in it? Are we going to have 12 seasons? Are there going to be 29 seasons?
I don't know that there's going to be 29 seasons. They may I can imagine they'll do a few more because they've got a really strong structure where they can, you know, do an old story and then tie it to a new story. And, and I mean, by the end of this season, it really hasn't finished.
It sounds like a law keeper's nightmare. I mean, you're on a show, so you have to know everything about the books, and you have to go, oh, by the way, we're just going to skip back and forth between things. It's like, no.
Yeah. My partner was spent a lot of time going, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. I had to gonk her once or twice. I was like, yes, but that's what's in the TV show, my love. So that's what we're going to have to go with.
Yeah. Welcome to our lives.
Yeah. It was a very odd experience as somebody who has, you know, had my thing that I love.
Yes, many adaptations.
Yeah, many things that I love been adapted many times and always going, oh, but they fucked that a bit up. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, you know, going, oh, see?
It sounds like the rule of thumb is that TV fucks stuff up.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Not always.
So, because you recommend Scarpetta?
I would recommend it. Like, it's a bit of fun. Right. Like, it's if you can get past the Kidman of it all.
Oh yeah. Her face is not acting.
Though she's clearly eased off the Botox a little bit now her eyebrows do move and can occasionally see she can emote like from eyes up. but she does still have the weird jawline and everything.
Oh, I'd watch it for the brow movement alone. It's been a while since I've seen those puppies move.
Look, watch it for Jamie Lee Curtis. Like she's having more fun than anyone else.
I just want them to remake BMX Bandits for fuck's sake. You cowards. And not change Nicole Kidman. Just make her the same character and cast kids all around her just to watch. That'd be fucking great.
Pete, you're a producer, get onto it.
Need a team that did Pen 15 for that one.
Okay. Yes.
Fine.
Yeah, I do. I also feel like I don't think you would live if you walked towards Nicole Kidman's agent with a script that said BMX Bandits. I think you would be quietly taken out by the sniper. All right. So, last one.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shrink away from this one.
Oh. Ta-da! The goat is back.
Oh, thank God.
There he is.
Alice is going to be heading off to college soon.
I'm going to play soccer in Connecticut.
How are you dealing with it?
All I want is for her to live with me until I die peacefully. And then she can go off and make whatever mistakes a young woman in her 70s might make.
Well, that sounds healthy.
I know I gotta move on, but I'm so stuck, man.
Things change suddenly with the break of the dawn.
Life is gonna keep demonstrating what you need most. Mama,
I can't believe we've got great friends.
It sucks that we're such good people.
Right?
Got a job that we love. It's a good life.
I know you want more.
Okay, bye, Jimmy.
Dude, how did you not ask her out?
Liz, you know I hate being spied on.
Hey, she's right, though, man. That was painful.
What the hell?
I told you she liked him. Hey, got it. I got it.
Everybody, get out of my yard.
Everybody needs someone that ain't gonna need.
You're afraid to move forward, but all of us need to do that.
Sometimes I just feel like I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sometimes I feel like you need a therapist.
Do you have a therapist?
I did, but he said I didn't need it anymore.
That never happened.
Maybe happiness is not this impossible thing. You just have to choose it.
What are you in for?
Parkinson's. You?
His haircut.
You just have to suck the marrow out of this amazing life.
Hey, Paul. Want to do it with me?
I actually do.
Awesome.
Yeah!
Call me Mr. Miracle.
I do have one small request. Can we do face paint for the game today?
She said no, Derek.
Come on! Chess is still good, though, yeah?
She said no paint anywhere.
What are we, Quakers? When did I join Club No Fun?
Shrinking Season 3. After the emotional damage of Season 2 and the personal attack of Season 1, I've been quite enjoying Season 3, which seems to be a bit of a turning point towards what I fear is going to be more emotional damage at the end of Season 3, because the start of Season 3 is actually quite hopeful. Like, it's bad situations. People are going through stuff, but they seem to be moving forward in a positive way and making good life choices. So I'm just waiting for the end of the season to destroy me.
Right. Well, I'm going to wait until the whole thing is out before I even start watching.
Right.
Yeah. What was that, Pete?
How far in are you, Dion?
I stopped at about the fourth episode. I haven't caught up yet.
I'm fully caught up, so yeah.
I'm one behind.
How's my thing looking?
You're going to be okay, I guess.
Oh, maybe. Good. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it continues its run of being extraordinarily good at kicking you in the dick or genitalia of choice, but it's emotional. It's sorry, Pete. You, like the face, you just like, no.
It hasn't stopped doing what it does, exactly. Which is good because that's why it's good.
Yeah. I know. I know what I'm in for.
Yeah.
Although, interestingly, Zach Braff has been directing some episodes in this season. And also coming back for Scrubs, which I completely forgot to talk about. And suggest, like, the new Scrubs.
I haven't watched any of the new Scrubs. Jill, have you?
No, and Pete's really shocked. She didn't know there was a new Scrub.
A new Scrub?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not even a reboot, Pete. It's no. the same cast. They're all back.
Yeah. Sort of.
What is happening?
Yeah, exactly. They came
it's
back and they
the
just.
Fucking 1990s, early 2000s again.
And they just ignored season 9. They just kind of went. Really? They just ignored it. They just don't talk about it. They just kind of go, it didn't really happen. And then have moved on to this thing. And I wasn't down with it until about halfway through the first episode of the new season. And then I was like, yeah, that's the Scrubs. They've got that mojo back. But we're not talking about Scrubs. We're talking about Shrinking. Sorry, I brought it up.
Maybe we do need to talk about Scrubs. I don't know. Where are people at on Scrubs? I haven't watched any of the new Scrubs.
But... I don't want no Scrubs.
Motherfuckers, go out and watch new Scrubs.
Okay. Scrub is a show that can't get no love.
Okay, so the answer is yes. The answer is yes, Scrubs.
Yes, Scrubs.
Okay. That's one vote for you.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, well,
anyway.
Dan doesn't fuck around, so maybe I'll have a look.
Yeah. It's good.
There's the best thing. Dion doesn't fuck around.
No.
Well, if anybody in this group does, it's Quinny. He always hate watches stuff. He's like, I started it. I better finish it.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you, Jill. I feel way too seen by you tonight. It's streaming on Disney Plus.
Yeah, yeah. It's streaming on Disney. Yes, thank you. But I also have a problem with watching absolutely terrible shit too.
I was going to say, Dion is the master of watching terrible shit.
or watching things not as they were intended.
yeah.
I watched it by reading the Wikipedia summary.
Yes.
But I have to say, I watched the script.
Didn't watch it.
Yeah, and I'm still waiting to get back into Shrinking, and it's lovely to see some people coming up, and I'm having a bit of a sad with it because I'm feeling like I'm watching people who I know and have grown up with and have done a lot of other things kind of doing their last one, and it's starting to feel a little bit like shit.
Yeah. There's a lot that probably is going to start to hit very close to home for people in our particular slice of generation and older. I know that there is a lot there that's hitting very close to home for me. At the moment, to the point where if after the second episode, I actually thought that I might not be able to watch any more this season. But then I just kind of dipped back in carefully.
Yeah.
There's new characters that are, you know, dealing with new problems, and I love that, you know, older characters are finding different reasons to do what they do, which I enjoy a lot. Like Gabby finds new reasons to do what she's doing and new challenges in that. Jimmy continues to be kind of the
fucking Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy continues to Jimmy throughout, and you kind of can't help but go, "Ah, Jimmy, Jesus Christ."
That's what he's there
for. But even he, by the end of where I'm up to at the very least, you kind of like, yeah, there is a sort of sense of hope, but there is also this impending heartache just you can't help but feel like it's a coming.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be.
But still hopeful and kind of funny.
Yeah. I love Michael J. Fox. And he's one of those things that, you know, you kind of put him in anything and there is a certain, I don't know, lightness that he brings.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how shitty the circumstance, you're kind of like, oh yeah, he's still kind of bringing something that you kind of can't help but love.
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody's sort of going, oh, how do we talk?
No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to give away anything, and I've only watched a few of them, but I'm saving them up so I can just destroy myself for the end of the season.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's like wanting to go back and unwatch The Pit season 2 until it's finished so I can actually keep going through it.
Only a couple hours left in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, let me tell you, engaging with the online discussion about The Pit is fucking eye-opening.
By what do you mean? In which platform? With whom?
I spend time on Threads. I like Threads. Oh. And Threads' algorithm is very aggressive when you talk about something briefly. It'll fucking spam you with a heap of stuff about that thing. So, I will.
Look, I said one fucking roll about hot dogs to someone, and all I have now is hot dog content. I don't particularly.
After your clown porn?
I don't know. It's been replaced with hot dogs now, and I'm not a particularly huge fan of hot dogs. I just want it to stop.
There was a lovely week after Christmas where my entire algorithm was heated rivalry and craft, and like just my entire algorithm.
I could live in this world.
You're getting the thing you wanted out of it. I don't want.
It's protecting me from everything that's going on.
Yeah, I never wanted the clown porn, and I never wanted hot dogs. I don't know what's going to come next. Help me.
I'll spam you with Project Hail Mary stuff.
Sure.
So that
would be amaze. Thanks, Jill.
There is a lot of that around as well, but yeah.
There is a danger though that it will be fist my bump.
There's a lot of that. I've seen that a lot.
That's a different algorithm narrative. Anyway.
Yeah. I haven't commented on shrinking yet, so I don't know whether I would be completely swamped by shrinking content. But yeah, there are some very, very dumb hot takes about The Pit out there, let me tell you.
Cool. Or it's another reason to avoid Threads.
Yeah, I have heard that Threads is getting a bit toxic, Twitter levels.
It's not nowhere near Twitter levels. Okay. Nowhere near.
Maybe not in The Pit fandom.
Yeah. Find the right fandom and you'll be like, oh, okay, yeah. You know, you find the positive ones, they're talking about Star Trek or whatever, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to glom on to that. I'm not going to engage with the dickheads out there. But The Pit is interesting because the characters are at odds with each other in a lot of cases. Mm-hmm. And you'll find that people very heavily agree with one or the other. But the circumstance in the show is that both are right and wrong.
Right. Okay. There's factions. And
there's a character in there that you're like, okay, I can see why you do this, but you're being an asshole. And you're also right, but you're also kind of wrong. And that just means that the discussion online is vicious because there's a lot of people out there who cannot and will not see two people's perspective at the same time.
Yeah, that Baby Jane Doe, she's a cunt.
You heard it here, folks. Jill... Jill's self-cancelled.
Happy birthday to me. I'm of the internet.
Yeah.
The best thing is, with language like that, Jill, you are up for a role in Deadlock season 2.
I can't wait to get started on that.
Yeah, I have watched the first episode and I'm going to go watch some right about now.
Excellent. And there's more. There's still Daredevil to come out. There's still...
Denied.
More Shadow Lord coming out in April. That'll should tide us over. Animation, Jill, that's from the same Clone Wars creators doing Darth Maul.
Maybe we can talk about it in anime.
Anime is coming up. Jeez.
Sweet.
Forgot all about that.
And then Peter's like, oh, fuck, not again.
She loves Star Wars animation, specifically.
Specifically. My first introduction to Star Wars was through animation, so
exactly.
You know, I don't dislike them as much as you might think.
No, you love the Ewoks cartoon. Mm-hmm. I know. We have had these conversations. Yeah. You loved Wicket and Nyssa and Matt Berry's.
Matt Berry.
Yeah, exactly.
Nyssa. Why?
That's what Wicket sounds like when he enunciates.
Yes,
in Wonderland Chuba City.
A season two. Be looking forward to that.
Which one's
All Mankind? Oh, Wonderman got a season two.
Yes, nice. Yes. Very excited for that. Well I'm just done. Looking, I liked season one of Wonderman.
Back to space.
Looking forward to more Ben Kingsley, but yes, also yes, Back to Space for All Mankind.
We'll see how much makeup Joel Kinnaman's wearing.
Yeah,
too much. Look, it's too much.
It's a geriatric astronaut.
Yeah,
it still has the build of quite a muscular man.
Yes, yes, a 30-something-year-old who goes to the gym a lot. That's what happens when you spend your declining years on Mars, apparently.
Mm. Yeah, they're not talking about all the bone density loss that happens when you're in space, but sure, no worries.
If he comes back to Earth, he's dust.
Yeah. I really liked how they did that in The Expanse. Do you guys remember that show? The Expanse?
Yes.
They had that thing as the spaces, the people who'd sort of grown up and were always in zero G and everything, the way to torture them was just to expose them to Earth's gravity. Like, it was torture for them because they had elongated limbs and they weren't used to gravity and all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, oh, what are you doing? I'm just hanging him here because the gravity's crushing him until he talks. It's
like, and honestly, could you imagine how fucking painful that would be if, like, all of your bones and muscles and everything in your body are not designed for being on a particular kind of gravity? That'd suck.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, next week, one piece.
We've only got one piece of information for you all.
Yes, we're still searching for the one piece.
Yep. I'm going to try and remember what the first season was about.
Gum fruit.
A bunch of cosplayers acting out a series.
But they're doing it with a budget.
Very well-made sets.
Yeah. It's got a budget. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of fun, and I suppose that's what the whole thing was. Like, One Piece isn't supposed to be fucking serious.
No.
So, yeah, just take it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Yeah. Every time I look at it, I can't help but think back to the Cowboy Bebop live action thing.
I was so hopeful for that.
I was so hopeful,
It really had the potential to be fantastic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe you fucked that up. Anyway,
it just leaves everyone open for more Harold and Kumar movies. Sorry.
No more Star Trek.
Yes, no more Star Trek. So don't forget to go out next and watch One Piece Season 2 to come back next week, and we'll go through all of that fun. Thanks, guys. I've got a couple of things there that I'm definitely going to check out, and a couple of things I think I'm going to avoid like the fucking plague.
Awesome.
I'm glad we distributed the love here about like who gets to watch what. Sorry, Pete, you took that one movie that I don't think I'm gonna watch.
Jill watched the movie that we don't want to watch.
That's all right. Women are interchangeable.
It was always Jill.
I thought it was Peter who said that she was going I was gonna kick that thing. Oh god, I don't know.
No,
Peter was DTF. I definitely remember her talking about it for 10 that's minutes right. solid Fuck's tonight. Yeah.
I'm a terrible human being. I don't see. I just see people as shapes.
Yep.
Just giving us the wind up. Sorry, Peter's giving us the wind up.
Next week we're going to have our screens swapped.
Nobody will notice.
Wait for him to find out what's happened.
You just start calling me Barry or something. You're like, yes, Barry. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. Okey-doke.
Call him Kyle. Kyle Sandilands.
Oh, fuck.
That's your doppelganger, Queen.
Oh,
I know.
According to everybody else.
That's all right, Gwynnie. You got fired.
Yeah.
You're fired. All right. We're going to go. Thank you, Jill, for sending us off. All right.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Australia.
Close your eyes.
Bye.
And I'll kiss you.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links, as well as ways to donate to the show if you're feeling generous. And of course, you can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes it moves. Until next time, stay awesome. And have them teach me ways and then we'd exercise.